WTCC7C. WTCC FM.
There was a video game to teach you your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. There is certain information that you can only get in conversation with
young people,
or talk to
old people.
It would make a shot all around. Yes, it would. And if
old people
would talk to
young people,
it would make a shot all around. As it would.
Yeah, yeah.
We went from radio to TV. Now we're going from LP to CD. Don't be afraid to try something new. Help you with the brand new technology. You can help me with the age old philosophy. Together there's so much we can do.
We're young people,
we'll talk to
old people.
Yeah, we'll make a song.
Better people
all around. Yes, but if
old people
we'll talk to
young people,
you would make a song.
People
around. They say every generation gets worse. All of the generational curse. But these problems don't just drop off the sky.
Yeah.
Listen to my Mahatma Gandhi's words. Be the change you wanna see in the world. Start with yourself and healing will multiply. We'll make us a
better people
all around. Yes, but
if old people
would talk to
young people,
better
people
all around. Talk to democratic people. It would make us diplomatic people. All
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WTCC or that of Springfield Technical Community College.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Gap Closer. The Gap Closer is about closing the communication gap between youth and adults. Each week on our show, we interview adults only in order to help bridge the communication gap. We are the ages of 6 to 18, and we air each week on Monday nights at 8 p.m. on WTCC 90.7 FM and WTCCFM.org.
Before the COVID-19 pandemic, we aired live in studios on WTCC 90.7 FM. But now, in the spirit of safety, we pre-tape our shows on Zoom. Therefore, we are unable to take live calls as usual. So we will try and cover all questions that we think you, our listening audience, will want to hear. Hello, my name is Taylor Warren, and I am 17 years young.
Hello, my name is Chantal Nortez, and I'm 17 years old.
We are happy to announce two very special guests today. We welcome Ms. Doris Harris, health consultant and host of radio talk show Health Matters, right here on WTCC 90.7 FM and WTCCFM.org.
And also, we have Ms. Jessica Collins, executive director of Public Health Institute. Welcome to you both, and we thank you for coming and taking time out of your very busy schedule.
The questions that we asked today are for the both of you, and you can choose who will want to answer the questions first.
Before we start, we'd like to express our thanks and gratitude to WTCC 90.7 FM and Springfield Technical Community College for giving this opportunity to express ourselves. So let's get started. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, and thank you for having me. I'm Jessica Collins. I work at the Public Health Institute of Western Mass, and we work on gathering stories and data about community health, and we build coalitions around public health issues, and we do policy advocacy in order to try to make sure that everyone has access to what they need to lead a healthy life. And I've been working in public health for a very long time on various public health issues like HIV, AIDS, and maternal and child health, and really interesting issues like asthma and childhood obesity prevention. And so COVID-19 is yet another challenge and very important public health issue that we've been working on with Ms. Doris for many, many months now.
And Ms. Doris, can you tell us about yourself?
Yes, I want to thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show. I'm Doris Harris, and I am the owner of Harris Resources, which is a quantitative and qualitative research study firm where I do studies related to public health issues. I'm also the host of the Health Matters radio talk show here at STIC. It comes on every Wednesday from 1 to 2. And I'm also the health editor for the Point of View newspaper. I was recently appointed by State Representative Bub Williams to be the co-chair of the Springfield Black COVID Coalition.
Taylor, what worries you most about COVID-19?
I'd say what worries me most about COVID-19 would be seeing my family members get it again, because there was a point where my mom and my sister had attracted COVID-19, and they did really well. Like, I knew they were going to be fine. I knew they were strong, but I believe they still have like lasting effects, maybe like brain fog or nothing too serious, but to the point where you know something has changed. And I wouldn't want somebody, I wouldn't wish on anybody, you know, someone can have it and they can have symptoms that they can't come back from, you know, as far as not being able to talk to somebody anymore.
The first thing that really concerned me was I live with my grandma. So, you know, having the challenge of having to leave the house sometimes and then come back was very, you know, concerning. Because no telling what the world could give to me to bring back home. And, you know, the one place I was really concerned about was, you know, where I rest my head at night. And, you know, that's the last thing you want to do is go outside to try to do regular, normal, everyday activities and worry about coming home and being safe, especially around people whose, like, you know, immune system isn't working for them the best, you know, because my grandma, she's older. And, you know, I take care of her the best I can. So like, if I have to stay home, I will. Or like, you know, if there's days where I know there's going to be a lot of people, I try to like stay away, or like, I try to limit myself to the amount of people I'm around if it's like a bigger event. Cause I know at the end of the day, I'm gonna have to go home and I don't want to, you know, carry that to her. That would be terrible. So that was probably like the biggest thing that I was scared about. Like, when the pandemic like first came around.
Did you wear a mask and wash your hands and social distance because of your grandmother?
Oh, like I didn't even leave the house until I had to. Like I doubled, tripled masks. Like I made masks. I had, my grandma didn't let me leave the house without gloves like all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, I understood it, but like I bought like tons and tons and tons of masks before like I even considered leaving the house. Like I used to pack masks in my bag and then have masks on my face. Cause I was just like, yo, I can't risk this at all, because we didn't know, well, we still don't know when this is gonna end, and no telling if it's gonna get, you know, if this is just calm before the storm. And, you know, as of right now, I'm trying to stick to that regimen. Hand sanitizer is not as good as washing your hands, but, you know, whoever seen fit, hand sanitizer, washing my hands will always be a must.
Chantel was saying that he wore a bunch of masks and washed his hands and stayed in the house a lot in the earlier phases. Did you find that you were doing that as well?
Yeah, I actually did. My room was always clean. Like before, my room was clean, but like now it was just over. It was like over. Like I had new sheets. I was like washing my sheets every like 2 days. It was crazy. Like when it first started, my room just smelled like, I wouldn't even know what to say. Like you think you could buy Lysol. Like you think it was a store.
Do you think that you two are outliers, or were most of your peers doing that preventative, all those preventative things?
I want to say. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying, say that again. I couldn't hear that.
Oh, I just said, do you think you two were different, or were most of your peers doing all those preventative things?
I feel it was half and half. Most of my peers didn't really, I'd say they didn't believe in the virus, didn't want the vaccine because of how early it was. And there was just not too much, there wasn't enough information out about it yet when it first started. So it was all kind of like a shock. And then the other half of my peers was like, oh, like they were on lockdown. Like they couldn't go nowhere. Like we wasn't hanging out. Like their parents were like, listen, we're doing this, that, and the third. Rocking out with gloves, a mask, hand sanitizer, the three must-haves before you leave the door.
But for me, like a lot of my peers, even if they didn't have the same idea as me, I think their parents did, because like during quarantine, like midsummer, like it was beautiful outside, like 10 out of 10. And I had a lot of friends. They were just hitting me up, trying to make plans, texting me, calling me, trying to make plans. And I was like, yo, ask your parents. And when they asked, they were just like, my mom said no because of COVID. My dad said no because this place is closed because of COVID. And like, I know it changed a lot of people's lifestyles and it changed a lot of people's attitudes and stuff. So, you know, if it wasn't them, it was definitely their parents who like assimilated to kind of like my ways. And if not, then I kind of like put them on. I was just like, yo, carry hand sanitizer, yo, wash your hands. Like, even if the hand sanitizer smells gross, like it's better than, you know, that bacteria that you could potentially be getting. So.
And how was it when you couldn't go to school? Go ahead, Chantel.
So I felt it was terrible for me, because I am more of a pen and paper kind of guy. Like I really don't need to resort to technology, but like I love writing, and like typing for hours, looking at a screen just like took a toll on me sometimes. Like especially if you wake up in the same spot that you're pretty much gonna do your schoolwork in for the next 7 hours, and then have to stay in it to complete another, what, 3-4 hours worth of homework. And then, you know, manage to, you know, try to figure out the rest of your day when you've literally done the same thing in the same spot, just to go back to the same spot every day. It kind of was like, it got nerve wracking at some points in time. And especially being outside of the learning environment and being at home, there was a lot of distractions. It was a lot of like, cause I remember we had that big storm up here, like all those trees were falling. It was like almost like a hurricane or whatever. And like, there was a tree that fell down my street, and like they were cutting it up and like trying to remove it. And all the damages from the houses that happened around me. And it was just like a whole lot of noise and I couldn't stand it, but I couldn't go anywhere because of COVID. And so like, if I was in school, I mean, like there's always construction and stuff happening on State Street, and I go to Commerce. So like, there's a lot of, you know, noise that happens out there, but you know, it's in the learning environment. So I wouldn't have been as distracted as I was in the house.
Taylor, can you answer that question, please? How was it being home doing remote learning and not going to school?
Being home doing remote learning, I'd have to agree with Chantel. It was nerve-wracking. Like at first I was like, oh, I can handle it, you know, being online, like it's going to be cool, you know, because it was something new. And then it became something new for the next couple of months. And it was like, okay, waking up, I got to sit in this chair, look at the same screen, do the same thing every day. I know I'm going to get more work. And they teach you at a faster pace. And it was just kind of like, man, and I couldn't go anywhere. Plus it sucked because when school ended, it was my birthday month and I couldn't do anything. So I'd say I'm more of a hands-on type person, hands-on learner. And I would say it wasn't as nerve-wracking. It still was nerve-wracking, but me, I'm already a technical person. I like using, computers, technology, all types of stuff like that. That's why I was kind of hyped about it at first, and then over time, it just lost it special.
Something about your birthday. I got that. I had a relative whose birthday was very important to me, and I couldn't go to the birthday. And I really felt that I missed something. So I do understand that. That's an important time. And I'm sure you would have spent it with your friends, correct?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What grade are you in, by the way?
I'm a senior, 12th grade.
Okay. So, wow. Are you happy to be back in school being a senior?
Yeah, I'd say I like being back in school. It's, familiar territory. There's new things, new challenges, but I wouldn't say it's anything I couldn't face, so.
Chantel, what grade are you in?
I am also a senior.
You're at Commerce, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you happy that you were able to go back to school because this is your last year?
Let's just say I'd give it a 50-50 split.
Okay.
it's still, pieces of it are not like it used to be. And now I can't make as many excuses for certain things not getting done. But, it's got to work twice as hard now.
Give me more information when you said it's not like it used to be.
So back then, it's really used to be packets, 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 but a lot of stuff is just, on paper. It's either on Zoom, like we can't have as many assemblies, like it's masks all the time. They put hand sanitizer dispensers in all the rooms and, it's different. Like you can't all be in the hallway. Like we have a sign out sheet, but you can't like actually sign out like to go to the bathroom. Like you have to use a QR code to go to the bathroom now. And it's so different. So.
Now, do you get tested or do you get screened for your temperature when you come in to school?
Yeah, there's, we had to fill out a paper last week that, pretty much applied us for random pool testing. And so like if they were to come back positive, they go to the room that everybody was in and like, test those people that were sitting around you. Like every room we have assigned seats. So like, if anybody in the next like, designated 3 to 6 feet around you, they'd have to get tested too. And not only that, they gave us another form that, gave consent to getting the vaccine from school. And not only was it the COVID vaccine, like they got the flu shot, they got, all the other, shots too on there. I feel like it's just for like safety precautions. So.
Yeah. So you don't mind doing it because it is safety precautions.
Yeah, I don't mind at all. If it makes us, safer, if it ends all this COVID stuff, then I don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Taylor, what about you? What's going on in your school in terms of social distance and testing?
Okay, so when we walk into the school, we don't, they don't take our temperature, but what they do is, okay, they do say anybody who feels sick, please stay home. That's why we're back in school, but we're missing maybe, I want to say half, like a quarter of the kids who would have been at the school. Like, I see way more freshmen than the juniors and seniors that usually would have been there with us today. I mean, this year. And if someone does retract COVID or feels uneasy for whatever reason, the nurses or whoever is a health professional is supposed to come into the room we're in. We can't leave it. And they test everybody who's around the vicinity.
Okay. Jessica?
Yeah, that's so interesting. So students are encouraged to stay home if they don't feel well. And for students that come into school, if they don't feel well, they get sent home. Is that what you're describing?
If I've also heard that, if like the case is severe enough, they will tell you to, you know, probably go home, or they'll call somebody, you know, or if you need any form of medication, you know, they'll most likely give it to you. I forgot what I was gonna say.
I have a quick follow-up. Maybe it'll prompt your memory. Yeah. Does the school offer the test, like a rapid test in your school?
Yeah, they do.
So that's Commerce. Tyler, what about your school?
Taylor and Central doesn't. Yeah. Hmm. They ask you to get, they don't want you in the, in the nurse's office unless you're bleeding. So like all those excuses you used to have before COVID, they don't slide no more. they want you to get your test out, your test at a different residence, everything.
Wow. So say that, or I mean, I guess of your circle of friends, are most people vaccinated or?
Our principal just talked about it. So we're not at 80% vaccination rate for the students that are in our school. I believe it's low, very low.
I wonder, wasn't there like a thing that went out that said if we got like 80% of like the school vaccinated, it was like they would take the mask mandate off, right?
It was, I don't know. 80% of every school.
Mm-hmm. I think. But in my friend group, I know we all got the vaccination early. Like, I got my first one, like, I know I got it really early. I got the second one in, like, June. But, yeah, I know we all got it. Like, everybody in my friend group got vaccinated. And, like, even if they didn't, like, I'm joining the Army. So I got enlisted a couple weeks ago. And, like, it was mandated that we had to get it or we couldn't enlist.
Good for you.
Brave.
Taylor, what about you?
I'm not vaccinated. Most of my friends are vaccinated. I'd say most of the people I know who, like, I know of that are not my friends, I think they're vaccinated, most of them.
Do you mind sharing why?
Go ahead.
Vaccinated?
Yes. The only reason I wasn't vaccinated yet was because my mom was like, she really, there wasn't any information out as soon as people were getting the vaccination, and we were still trying to wait it out and see, you know, what was happening to people, what's going on with this and that and the third. And I couldn't go to the doctor's office yet because I had this situation happening with my insurance. So as far as that, it was really just my mom being worried and wanted to make sure that, like, we'd be set. And, you know, most of her friends had the vaccination, so I'm pretty sure I don't have a date, but I am getting vaccinated soon.
You're listening to The Gap Closer on WTCC 90.7 FM and www.wtccfm.org. And stay tuned. We will be right back after these messages.
The National Institute on Drug Abuse presents a tale about the dangers of drugs entitled Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill went up the hill. Jack said, Jill, you want a thrill? Jill said, Jack, that sounds mad chill. They took some drugs and things got ill. Jill got dizzy and so did he. They both got busy and felt so free. Never did it occur that the other may be the one infected with HIV. When you use drugs, there's no happy ending. Keep your body healthy. Don't use drugs. Check out drugabuse.gov for the real story.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. Kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to The Gap Closer on WTCC 90.7 FM and www.wtcc.org.
I have a question. So knowing that you guys are, you know, facing a lot of, you know, the public health industry or, you know, the community works in the community, when COVID first hit like hard, did that make your guys' jobs harder? Like reaching out to the community, having to get a lot of outreach, you know, being able to spread the word on, hey, wash your hands or get vaccinated. Like, how hard did that make your job?
You want me to go, Jess? Sure. I think for me, yes, it was challenging because of the population I was talking to. It was very hard. People didn't believe it. They would say things like, that's not true. Oh, come on, that, you know, and then some would think it was a conspiracy against African-American people. There's still some forms of that within the community. But I notice that now that individuals are seeing people that they know that are sick or that are dying, more are becoming aware that this is real, this is not fake. And you need to make decisions on it. But yes, the washing hands, the preventative types of things, it was very, very challenging. It's still very challenging. But what I like to do is give people information so they could see both sides of it. I like what I'm doing, so I don't mind the challenging. I like being out there, and I like talking to individuals, and I like talking to groups. I work collectively with others. So we have a meeting on Thursday that we go to, and it's a citywide group where we come together. It's people who do outreach, it's people who do the vaccinations, it's public health individuals. And that particular group is a wonderful group because what you do is share information. And you do come up with ideas and strategies on how you could work together. But because I'm very passionate about this and I like what I'm doing, and I just want to spread the word to individuals to first have your voice heard. So make a decision. Just don't say, oh, it's crazy. That's not true. I heard this. I heard that. Get the facts and then let's share and let's talk. And 9 times out of 10, that has helped. It really, truly has. Jessica?
Yeah, I was thinking, my colleagues and I have been on Ms. Doris's radio show over, you know, many years talking about different health issues, for example, asthma or healthy eating. And, you know, COVID-19 is different because it was politicized so early on, and it made it very challenging. What Ms. Doris just said is, you know, get the facts and make a decision. And I think, you know, you can talk about asthma and people don't suspect that giving people the puffer or albuterol is, you know, a conspiracy, but COVID-19, things got twisted around. So it's, you know, just as deadly as other public health, you know, issues that we talk about. And this has been a challenge. It's been a challenge to tease out what is the truth, what's the best way to communicate the truth, and how do you meet people where they're at and talk about what they don't believe or why they don't believe it. And quite frankly, with other public health issues, we don't have to do that. So this has been very unique.
I also want to say it was the timing when it came. When it came, there was a lot of racial disparities. COVID brought out that there was health equity. In New York, there was more people of color dying. And then the news brought about that they weren't getting the same type of care. So it was so many different levels. And then there was police brutality as well. So you had the fear. And then I don't know if you guys remember, this was years ago when they did research in Tuskegee, Alabama, and the research that they did actually did not benefit the African-American people that they did the research on. It made their health conditions worse. So you still had that historical factor of mistrust. So now you have this pandemic, and who are you going to believe? But I have to say this. I had the president of Mercy Hospital, Trinity Hospital, on. He was an African-American male. I decided to put it all over Facebook and send things. And he made an impact. More people were willing to get their shot because of this individual. I just recently had a microbiologist on. He's from Trinidad, from UMass. Everybody loved what he said. And he, again, wanted individuals to understand that people that looked like them were in support of this vaccine. And they were in support of this vaccine because it helped reduce the death rate of people who look like him and look like me. So, and I'm still getting a lot of talk about that. Last week, I had a nutritionist that came on and she talked about stress and healthy eating and preventative. One of the things that both of those doctors did was push the fact that, okay, you have the pandemic, but now you have to take responsibility for continuing prevention and your overall health wellness. As you can see, I'm very passionate. So when I'm out there in the community, in terms of challenges, I look at it as almost like a responsibility. Because when I was in the School of Public Health graduate program, I was fortunate enough to have an African-American dean who encouraged me that this is what you're supposed to do. you're supposed to go out with masses of people who don't necessarily quite understand why they should take control over their health. And that stayed with me throughout my whole life.
I have a question. So, Ms. Collins and Ms. Harris, did you guys ever, or did you women ever feel discouraged when COVID had came about, as if you couldn't handle it, you know, almost as if you wanted to choose another field?
That's a good question. I remember feeling very overwhelmed for the healthcare workers for a long stretch. And I remember feeling grateful that I was not a clinical person. I was never interested in that, like the clinical stuff. But no, I think I'm like Miss Doris. I feel like I'm up for a good fight. I feel like this was, we needed to be speaking out and, you know, asking for data that was going to help us understand who was suffering more and in the community, and then how could we, you know, augment what those people needed. I was grateful I wasn't in the hospitals. I felt very sad for the folks in the hospitals that were just so overwhelmed and still are today, quite frankly. But there have been tough public health issues in the past. And, you know, we don't give up easily. What do you think, Ms. Doris?
You're absolutely right. And I think our role is a little bit different. When Ms. Collins and I got together, we strategized and talked about how are we going to maneuver this? And she was concerned about how are you, DART's going to go out and impact the community. And so it was a challenge, but it was also taking the knowledge and the education that we have gained from our college, as well as information in terms of research and reading, and put it together. So it's a little bit different, because I think what we're doing is we're providing education, awareness, preventative types of measures. And then you also have the research. Because what you guys are sharing with us tonight is extremely valuable. And I've heard a lot in terms of when Chantelle, you were talking about your grandmother and family, and also Taylor, you were talking about that too. And we're putting our information together, and we're actually seeing that family is an important part. So our role is a little bit different, because we're taking information and then we're taking that information and helping others with it. So I don't know. I know Jessica and I can speak for myself, but talking with her, we're excited that we're part of this. And it may be a battlefield for some, but it's a wonderful, challenging battlefield for us.
And you would say it's made you both better in your field, mentally, physically, right?
Absolutely. You said it. Absolutely. And it made me think differently. And it also made me, I'm very grateful for certain things, because I do know that some people are suffering as it relates. So it made me actually get as much information that I can to disseminate out to the community, and also to volunteer for certain things. The Springfield Black COVID Coalition, I was appointed to do that. And I wasn't even looking to do that, but it made me grateful that do I have the knowledge and education to impact lives. Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say also, I mean, we had to be creative. And it was really, it's been incredible to see other folks who aren't in the public health field stand up. So for example, Representative Bud Williams, who yes. The story has been referring to the Black COVID Leaders Coalition. I mean, you had people who
maybe didn't know that much about public health and now all of a sudden are listing off data and understand prevention strategies. So in a way, I think it's elevated the public health field in a way that we weren't at all expecting.
Okay, I have another question. So coming from the youth perspective and also what you were saying, Ms. Harris, about Springfield being such a very diverse place, and not only does diversity come with its views, it also comes with its opinions. So coming from a youth perspective, how could we spread to the community, you know, get the vaccine or, you know, stays, you know, social distance or like, you know, how should we go about spreading the word to other people about like, you know, what you guys do?
I think just by being yourself, what you shared today was very valuable and important. You're doing this because of a loved one. That is so important. You're also doing it because you have a future. You're moving forward to a career. So I think just being yourself and letting people know why it's important that you think they should get the vaccine. And then another thing, if there's fear there, maybe you could go with them. Some people do need to have a friend to be there with them. They are just petrified. And of the vaccine, also knowing that you got the vaccine and you didn't, your head didn't explode, you didn't turn around in circles, because a lot of times there's a fear there that something may happen to me physically. So I think what both of you had said and shared is very important. And I think a lot of times people do things for others, for grandmothers, for mothers, for fathers, for sisters and brothers. And one thing, Chantel, that really touched my heart, what you said, I try to do the best for my grandmother. And I think you did the best because you knew that when she was telling you to not go out, to wear the mask, that not only were you protecting yourself, you were protecting her as well. Jessica, would you like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. You both said all the prevention, it hasn't changed. It's the same prevention messages, you know, and you know them and you've lived them. And if you want to throw laundry on there, Taylor, go for it. You know, whatever you want to do to make you feel healthy. I think you are role modeling it. And it feels like that's really the most authentic way to try to impact people you care about.
Go ahead, Taylor. I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
Yes. Go ahead, please.
So I, bouncing, you know, answering questions, bouncing between you both, I had kept hearing health equity, and that's what seems to be the buzz, you know, nowadays in public health, especially since, you know, 2020. So if you could shine some light on the difference between health equity and health disparity.
Mm. Oh, I love that question. Can I take that one? Yours? Okay. My favorite way of explaining the difference between health equity and health disparity, or health inequity and health disparity, is more people over the age of 70 die under the age of 10. You have two different populations of people, and there is an experience of death more so in the older people than the younger people. It's just a basic. A health inequity is defined that something that's unjust, unfair, and can actually be changed. And so a health inequity, for example, would be what Ms. Doris pointed out before, which is when we look at data nationally and at the state level and locally, we are seeing that more people of color are getting sick and dying from COVID-19
than their white counterparts. And that is an inequity. It's not right, and we can actually change it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, that makes sense. The equity part is more or less the what we can change for, I wouldn't say every individual person, but more generalized groups. But it is changeable, so we can make it work for everyone. So,
Miss Harris, I know you had something to say before I spoke.
No. I just wanted, also wanted to give you, want to talk about the fact how your parent, although you didn't get the vaccination, that your mother still was considering it for you, and she needed some additional information in order to move forward on it. And you're willing to do that as well as Chantel, because you know it's important for your family. So I wanted to explore that a little bit more with you. Having two relatives who had a diagnosis of COVID, how you haven't gotten the vaccine, but how do you feel about all that, knowing that you did have your mother and your sister who, you know, did, and have they received the vaccine as well?
No.
Okay. Do you think there's fear of the unknown regarding not having enough information on the vaccine? Is why they haven't gotten it?
I'd say the fear of the unknown is definitely part of it. It may be a mixture between not knowing what you're putting into your body and just not having the time, because they both work like constantly, and just having to, you know, call out of work, you know, call it work. At work, you make money, and without work, you don't. So, you know, it'd be the same thing as calling out of work to be able to go to the doctors, and you're not paid for that day. Yeah. Instead of a day, this time would be, you know, a while, because once you get the vaccine, you don't know what effects you're going to contract. So you might be out for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm. 3 weeks. Maybe. You just reminded me of something. Remember that thing I forgot earlier? I just remembered it. It had something exactly to do with that. So when it comes to school, and like if you ever needed to take a day off to like go get the vaccine or to go get tested, or if, you know, it may take away from like a class period or something, they won't count that absence. Like they don't count that as an absence that day. So it doesn't take away from like, you know, anything else. I was saying, like, when you said that, that reminded me. I was just like, how come they couldn't do that for workers? And I was like, oh, shoot, that's what I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they don't.
You pointed that out.
Yeah, they don't count that as a penalty.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, I don't know where your mother and your sister work, and that's, I don't want you to tell me that. But there's some places that do allow them to take time off, and they just need to ask. Also, within the city of Springfield, you can get the vaccine later in the day, like at 5 to 7. And also you can get the vaccine on the weekends in various parts of the city. But again, that is a challenge that I hear a lot about, because people just don't know where to go. So I'm very glad that you remembered to ask the question, because that is a challenge for me when individuals tell me they don't know where to go, or they don't have transportation to get them there. Because I do have information. Public Health Institute has information. They have a web page where they highlight, they put down where you could go to get your vaccination. And then there's other places they can direct you to if they don't have that information, other web pages. So Taylor, that's one thing that I definitely want to let you know, that there are ways that you can, they could get the vaccine without missing a day off from work. But what they should do is ask, because a lot of human resources places have that information, and they may give them time to go and do that. But a lot of people just don't have that information. It just is what it is.
Oh, you weren't saying anything?
Did you have something, Tell?
Oh, I was just remembering Chantal was saying something before I asked you. So,
So let's see. Okay, so Miss Doris, you also mentioned you're a part of the Black COVID Coalition.
Yes.
Could you explain a little more about what that is?
Okay. I was appointed by State Representative Bud Williams to be the co-chair of the Springfield Black COVID Coalition. The coalition was formed by State Representative Bud Williams to come together and to form a group of people. And there are people from all over. We have teachers, we have public health people, we have community people to develop strategies on how we need to move forward to help individuals with getting testing, getting vaccines, vaccinated, and also getting information regarding COVID. They have different types of activities that they hold at a place called Cozy Corner, where they had a vaccine clinic. They also had testing, and they also had guest speakers. So when he had asked me to join, to be part of that, I felt very honored because I knew that I would be able to make a difference. And that was one of the reasons why I decided I would definitely work towards that. Just to let you know, on October the 30th at Springfield Technical Community College, from 11 to 2, there will be a vaccination clinic for kids. But if parents come, everyone, you know, can get vaccinated. It will be a lot of different types of activities. I will also be interviewing kids live, just like you, another group of kids. They had asked me to do that. It's going to be a fun day. There will also be a basketball clinic with some very good basketball players. I think they might be from AIC or from one of the Central High School, I'm not sure. And you could come, you could have fun. There'll be all different types of giveaways, candy for Halloween, music. And I think it would be a wonderful thing if you haven't got vaccinated for you to come down. That is Saturday, October the 30th, from 11 to 2. I'll be I will definitely be there on the mic. they want me there at 11:30 representing Health Matters and also Public Health Institute, talking to kids, the same similar questions that I'm asking you. These kids, however, will be from 5 to 12 years of age. So it'll be a different type of dialogue discussion. So I encourage you to come and just have fun. It will be right in the front of Stick, so you can't miss it. When you come in through that gate, it's right there. It's going to be in front of the WTCC radio station.
That actually sounds pretty good. I'm going to put that in my calendar.
I want Jessica to give, she does have to have another engagement. So I want her to give final thoughts or comments that she has.
Well, I also just wanted to say on November 2nd, we have a pediatrician from Bay State Health that will be educating us all about this vaccine that will soon be available for 5 to 11 year olds. And then also trying to clarify about the booster shot. because many of us will be, who are vaccinated, many folks will be eligible for booster shots, and they're really learning more about that every day. So that recording will be on our website. And if folks can join, it's at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day. So it's not very convenient for students, but really just want to thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed very much meeting you and hearing about your leadership and your courage and the way that you care and love your families. And it's been really moving, and I'm very impressed. And I wish you both the best in your senior years and your future. And if you do want to circle back and learn more about public health, you know, come knock on our door at the Public Health Institute of Western Mass.
So, Ms. Harris, is there any way we can get in contact with you?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for having me as a guest. This was a very informative and wonderful program. If you need additional information from me, you can email me at dorharris77@hotmail.com. However, please go to the Point of View newspaper and you could read an article for me, and you could get other information on how you could contact me. Thank you for such a wonderful show.
Thank you to our guests for listening tonight. And that's our show today. Thank you for tuning into The Gap Closer on 90.7 FM, WTCC, and WTCCFM.org.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WTCC or that of Springfield Technical Community College. Yeah, yeah.
There was a video game to teach you your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. There is certain information that you can only get in conversation with
young people,
or talk to
old people.
It would make us
up people
all around. Yes, it would. And if
old people
would talk to
young people,
it would make us
up people
all around. As it would.
Yeah, yeah.
We went from radio to TV. Now we're going from LP to CD. Don't be afraid to try something new. Help you with the brand new technology. Oh. Help me with the age old philosophy. Oh. Together, there's so much we can do.
We're young people.
We'll talk to
old people.
Yeah, we'll make us up.
Help people
all around. Yes, but if
old people
would talk to
young people,
it would make us a
better people all around.
They say every generation gets worse. Call it a generational curse. But these problems don't just drop off the sky.
Yeah.
Listen to my Mahatma Gandhi's words.
Oh.
Be the change you wanna see in the world.
Oh.
Start with yourself and healing will multiply. We'll make us
a better people
all around. Yes, but
if old people
would talk to
young people, better people
all around.
Yeah,
if black people would talk to white people, it would make us
a better people
all around. Talk to democratic people. It would make us diplomatic people around.
WTCC FM.